Welcome back to Glitchcast, episode number 64. This week we are talking about the new Netflix release, Triple Frontier, which stars Ben Affleck, Oscar Isaac, Pedro Pascal, Charlie Hunnam, Garrett Hedlund, bunch of people. Basically those five people.
Yeah. Always nice for us to not have to leave our couches. And we've got a lot of movies coming up here. We've got C2E2 right around the corner. So It was a nice little break to recover from St. Patrick's Day to sit on the couch and watch this one.
Yeah, it timed up perfectly. I like to think that they did that for us.
Yes, they got our backs.
Yeah, but this weekend, just a reminder, as Andy said, we will be at C2E2 down in Chicago. Walking around, talking to people. Maybe shooting some video, recording some audio stuff, just experiencing it because, you know, that's sort of our realm in a way, entertainment.
Yeah, I don't know what you're dressing up as, but I'm going as the slave Leia from Return of the Jedi. What about you?
I don't have a joke one ready for that.
You think that's a joke one, but I don't know if you remember a couple Halloweens ago, I actually
wore it. Oh, I remember. Oh, God. Okay, so let's get into movie news. Now, this won't be a long episode, not a lot of news. Disney has reinstated James Gunn for Guardians of the Galaxy 3. So if you remember, he was fired after some old, tweets and blog posts or something came up that kind of made some controversial jokes, you know, early 2010s jokes that don't really fly today. So they got rid of him. And he was actually signed on to write and direct the Suicide Squad reboot, which, as we know, isn't Marvel. That's DC. But they pushed him back. He will still be making Suicide Squad. He will make Guardians 3 after Suicide Squad. So he is hopping on the Joss Whedon train of being in both universes.
This is crazy. This is like when Michael Jordan left to do baseball and then he came back. Like, this is big. I think a lot of people, like Dave Bautista, was basically like, I'm not doing it unless you get him back. So Guardians 3 was just in this limbo, and hopefully this gets it back, you know, into the hot spot here. We can get Guardians 3 pretty soon here.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the entire cast, or the main cast, basically said, like, we'll fulfill our contracts, but, like, that doesn't mean we're going to do a good job.
Yeah,
like,
they're just going to coast through it, just phone it in. Like, the product would have been pretty bad, and I guess good for Disney for swallowing their pride and bringing them back, because it really was overblown in the first place.
Yeah, apparently they had made the decision several months ago or something, but because of what was going on with him and Suicide Squad, they had to wait. Mm. It sounds like they were just waiting as long as possible to let everything die down and hope that, like...
Yeah, it's all PR, calculated PR.
Yeah.
Well, good for him to be back. And then another tiny thing, I did read that Suicide Squad is going to be a full-on reboot, not a sequel. Not pretending Will Smith characters and now Idris Elba, but read, I think it was yesterday or day before, full-on reboot. So,
yep.
Interesting.
Cool. Probably a good move.
Yeah, definitely.
Tom Holland, speaking of the Marvel Universe, is going to star in the crime drama Cherry, which is going to be directed by the Russo brothers, who directed the last two Captain America movies and the latest Infinity War Avengers movie. So this is about the true story of an army medic who returned from Iraq with extreme PTSD, fell into opioid addiction, and began robbing banks. This guy is actually set to be released from prison, I think, the year that this is slated for release. And he, like, wrote a memoir and all that jazz. So this is based on that. Can you imagine Tom Holland as this kind of character?
First of all, this whole headline just sounds like Mad Libs, like Avenger style. Okay, here we go. Tom Holland, okay, nice, to star in crime drama Cherry. Okay, cool. Directed by, ooh, I got the Russo brothers, about the true story of an, army medic who returned from Iraq with PTSD. All right, what's next? Opioid addiction? And what does he do? He robs banks. Oh, this movie's going to be crazy. It sounds insane.
I imagine it's going to be fairly serious and probably emotional.
Yeah, for sure.
Considering opioid crisis in America is kind of a big deal, and, you know, always veterans with PTSD is kind of a... But Tom Holland, how do you feel about this? Like, I just can't imagine him... Like, he's playing a 16-year-old in the Spider-Man movies, and...
But he's also playing Nathan Drake in the Uncharted movies. I imagine once...
Young.
What?
Nathan. young Nathan Drake.
Right, but I got a feeling he's going to bulk up for that movie, and he's going to break out of his I'm a teenager, you know, role-playing guy. What? How old is he in real life? He's got to be like 22, 26, I think. Really?
No.
22?
He's younger than me.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I could see it. I think he'll get all bulked up and get his little squeaky voice that he acts in out of the way.
I mean, I like him, so it would be cool to see him, you know, mature a little bit, but it just kind of feels like he, I don't know. Maybe it's just because I've only seen him be a child.
And you got to imagine he's not going to be starting to be behind the camera for this film for another, you know, how many months? So he's growing up before our eyes.
Be a bit. Blade Runner 2049 star Ana de Armas is going to play Marilyn Monroe in Netflix's upcoming biopic Blonde. So I think we're both pretty big fans of her.
She's broken the top five list, Austin.
So this is based on a novel about Monroe, but through a fictional lens. Intriguing. But this is going to be made by Andrew Dominik, who made The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford and Killing Them Softly.
Love that
title. Two Brad Pitt movies. Apparently, Jessica Chastain and Naomi Watts were originally slated to participate in the lead role here, but Darmus on it. It's kind of, I can't really, she has the look, I think, for it, more so than the other two did, but, like, she has an accent, and I'm sure, like, she can speak without it, but I've only ever seen her with, like, that accent.
Yeah, you know? I think she has a perfectly placed mole, if I remember Spanish. Correctly, that matches. Yep. I can totally see her as a blonde and nailing this, so I'm a fan.
Yeah. Interesting that this dude, Andrew Dominik, has made, like, two kind of violent, serious-like movies, and now he's going to make a movie about Marilyn Monroe. Interesting. Andy Samberg and J.K. Simmons are going to star in a comedy called Palm Springs. The Lonely Island trio are going to produce this. This also stars Kristen Milioti, who played, spoiler alert, the mother in How I Met Your Mother, the actual mother that died. This has a script by the creator of Lodge 49. I don't know if you've heard of that show. It's on, like, it was on AMC. Wyatt Russell starred in it, but apparently it's pretty. Yeah, it's like, I have no, I don't even know, but apparently it's pretty good. It's like a mystery. Logline: when carefree Niles, so I'm guessing Andy Samberg is gonna play a guy named Niles, and reluctant maid of honor Sarah have a chance encounter at a Palm Springs wedding. Things get complicated as they are unable to escape the venue themselves or each other. Okay.
Andy Samberg's J.K. Simmons reuniting that chemistry they had in I Love You Man, if I remember correctly. Sounds funny. Lonely Island coming from YouTube, now producing big old hits. Selling millions of records. Just crazy how far they've come.
Yeah. Was Lonely Island originally YouTube?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that. I just assumed that, you know, Samberg got the, or all three of them got writing gigs at SNL, and then they...
Oh, no. They had some really early YouTube stuff. Didn't I ever show you the YouTube bro rape?
That's not Lonely Island.
Who is that? Is that Derek Comedy?
That's Derek Comedy.
Oh, Lonely Island. Not, yeah, you're right. That was Derek Connolly. I'm thinking of, like, did you ever see the video, like, Stork Patrol? Or, like, no, We so. Like Sports?
Oh, We Like Sports, yeah.
Yeah, like, they had, that was some of their early stuff. Okay. And there's this other weird song called Stork Patrol, which is hilarious. There's a bunch of skits as well. I wonder if they've removed it all from YouTube or if it's still there. But, yeah, they were YouTubers.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I love Andy Samberg, so I'm about to... In Brooklyn Nine-Nine, were they in Palm Springs when they... No, it wasn't Palm Springs.
No.
Where was it? When they went, like... it was like Cancun. When they were in Witness Protection. No, Witness Protection.
Oh, yeah, maybe. When they were, like, running that... I can't, like, that entertainment park?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Arcade, yeah. Yeah. All right, that's it for movie news. We just got a few TV news stories here. HBO has confirmed the elongated runtimes for the final Game of Thrones episodes. So, as you know, there's only going to be 6 episodes. There's only 7 episodes in the last season. Episode 1, 54 minutes, normal. 2, 58. 3, hour and 22. 4, hour and 18. Episode 5, hour 20. And episode 6, hour 20. So...
Yeah, some I saw somebody did the math, and they're like, this is essentially like 87% the length of other average seasons. So like, we're pretty much getting the full season. They had to do it like this, and that's totally fine.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that the first two episodes are kind of just like the typical run times.
Yeah, just kind of get everybody reintroduced, and then everything else is just like death.
Balls to the wall. Yeah. I figured like one of the first two episodes would feature maybe like a big battle, but maybe not. Although I guess, yeah, you know, you like other big battle episodes have been.
What if like episode one is just a 52-minute battle? Like barely any slowness, just nuts, just starting off the best season of television ever.
Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me.
I saw some people spoilering this. They're like, hey guys, big time spoilers here, but here's the run times. I'm like, that's, come on, people are idiots, come on.
Netflix is Netflix is doubling down on interactive series after Bandersnatch's success. So I know we both, I think, kind of had an issue with the fact that it wasn't really like its own story. It was more so about like someone, it was meta in a way.
Yeah.
Like fourth wall breaking meta. And we were kind of hoping that it would, like, if they were to continue doing this, it'd be more of like, it's its own story. We just happen to like pick the route that it goes as opposed to, you know, the character knowing about us.
Yeah, I think we'd be willing to give it another shot. They've got their first time out of the way, and yeah, an actual story instead of being like, we get it, you're actually picking the story and the character knows that.
Yeah, and it says that we're doubling down on that, so expect over the next year or two to see more interactive storytelling. It won't necessarily be science fiction or dark. It could be a wacky comedy. It could be a romance where the audience gets to choose, should she go out with him or him? So, you know, that kind of lines up with what...
As long as it just doesn't take over Black Mirror. Like, give me normal Black Mirror for next season.
Mm-hmm. Which, when are we going to get that season? It's almost time. Almost time. Taika Waititi, director of Thor Ragnarok and What We Do in the Shadows and Hunt for the Wilder People, is adapting Terry Gilliam's Time Bandits movie from the 80s as a TV series for Apple and their new streaming service. So this is... Waititi will co-write and direct the pilot for the potential series. Time Bandits follows the time-traveling adventures of an 11-year-old history buff named Kevin, who one night stumbles on six dwarves who emerge from his closet. They are former workers of the Supreme Being, who have stolen a map that charts all the holes in the space-time fabric, using it to hop from one historical era to the next in order to steal riches... all while the Supreme Being simultaneously tries to catch up to them and retrieve the map.
I don't know. Sounds kind of kiddie, but Waititi has his own style of humor. First of all, we basically talk about a new project that he's working on every single week. This guy's busy.
Busy, dude.
But from 11-year-old history buff Apple, doesn't really sound like something we'd watch, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm not sure. All right, last news story of the week. Marvel Studios is producing a What If TV series for Disney Plus, so for that streaming service. So this is going to be an animated series. But I think it sounds kind of cool because the What If sort of comic books are about what if something else happened. Like, what if Loki found Thor's hammer, or was able to wield Thor's hammer instead of Thor, and how that would affect certain things in the universe. So we've talked about superhero saturation at an all-time high, so we kind of like want to see these different genres, different sort of forms, different takes. So I think this is a cool way to go about it, just to kind of show, you know, sort of like a random thought experiment, like what would have happened
if... Yeah, I kind of like it. I wonder if they'll do a whole season of stories interacting with each other that have these what if scenarios, or if it's just going to be every episode is a different what if. I kind of like the idea of every episode just being its own what if.
I think that's what it's going to be.
Okay, that's awesome.
It's going to be like an anthology.
I like this thing. I would watch this.
Yeah. Sweet. All right, so that is it for news this week. Let's talk some trailers. First up is the second Avengers Endgame trailer.
Oh boy.
Yet again, doesn't really show, you know, that much footage or new footage. It's kind of, you know, got this interesting black and white with like red tinge color grading to it, with, you know, voiceovers from previous installments in the MCU. We do get to see them walking in like these white Get up superhero suits.
Love it.
I don't even know.
Love the white. So cool.
Yeah, I mean, like I thought it was nice.
Yeah,
there's like one aspect that is spoilery.
Yes, if you don't want to watch it, skip 30 seconds. But you can tell that Robert Downey Jr. obviously makes it back to Earth. Iron Man's back on Earth. We were kind of wondering if that. Well, we knew it was going to happen, but spoilery it here, kind of strange. Good use of, you know, past footage as to fill this trailer. I think they're confident that they don't need to show us anything here. Like, we know it's going
to
be good.
Don't
give it away. You almost didn't watch it.
Yeah.
Big takeaway is Jeremy Renner's haircut is the worst thing that I've ever seen.
Yeah, you know what? I kind of vibe with it. Okay. for this movie. Like, I would never get it myself.
Dark Jeremy Renner, like he just goes emo and gets like emo dark haircuts.
Exactly, because like he probably wakes up or his family disappears in front of his eyes, and then like he's just like.
But here's the thing: he doesn't like shittily chop his hair. Like, it's like a very good hairstyle by a stylist with like product in it and like a shaved side of his head. Like, I'm just like, this is sending me a lot of different signals, Renner.
Exactly. He needed to do something different. He wanted that punk rock look because his family disappeared.
It's the worst haircut I've ever seen. We don't know that, but yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Then we got a full-length Aladdin trailer. So we had gotten a teaser before, which was, you know, sort of torn apart. Or not really torn apart. I should say the images were torn apart.
The genie was torn apart.
But now we have an actual trailer. Are you excited for this? Are you not excited for this? Did it improve your feeling about the movie?
A couple things. They toned down the genie in blue thing, and they just showed Will Smith normal just to get people to be like, listen, it's still Will Smith. He's still going to be funny. And I thought it was funnier. And yes, they did a good job by getting the nostalgia back and showing you a whole new world and showing you that Alibaba running through the streets montage type thing. They played with the nostalgia bone, so I thought this was a better trailer. What about you?
Yeah.
Still iffy?
Still not iffy. Still, like, pretty sure it's going to be bad.
Yeah, something about the live action is just not translating. Jafar's a puss. Like, Jafar just looks like a banker. Like, somebody is going to tell me the balance of my checking account. Jasmine's white. I don't know, man.
I think maybe it's the dude playing Aladdin too. I feel like he's just like, there's just something about him that I don't know. I can't get on board with this.
Okay. Well, it's a big what if. What do you think is going to be better, this or Lion King?
Lion King. Come on.
All right. Well, you never know.
Last trailer this week is let me posit this question. Which do you think is going to be better, this or Dumbo?
This.
I think Dumbo is going to be better.
Really?
And I have no interest in Dumbo.
I have little to no interest in Dumbo. The trailers look okay, actually.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. Aladdin.
Okay.
Aladdin. Split. Yeah.
Last trailer this week is a teaser trailer for Chernobyl. This is an HBO limited series starring Stellan Skarsgård, Jared Harris, who played like Moriarty in the Sherlock Holmes movies. this is obviously about the Chernobyl nuclear power disaster. Doesn't really give a lot, I'm gonna be honest. The trailer, it is a teaser, but it doesn't really show too
Jared
much.
Harris, he's Lane in Mad Men, and he's in The Terror as well. He's in The Crown, he's in Fringe. He's actually a really good actor.
Great.
Doesn't tell you a lot, but I don't really know a lot about like that disaster, so I'm actually really interested in this.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. HBO limited series is always good.
Yes. Except so, I don't think the new Adnan Syed documentary is very good at all.
I haven't watched the second episode yet, but I was very disappointed in the first episode.
The second episode is terrible. It basically expects you to remember everything about Serial, doesn't give you any background about anybody, jumps around like the linearity of everything. It's very, very bad in my opinion.
The only thing it did for me was I thought the friend Jay, the Jay friend, I legit thought he was white.
I thought Stephanie, I think one of the friends. No, I can't remember her name, but yeah, there's a lot of people where I was like, didn't know she was black, or didn't know that guy was Muslim.
Yeah.
for like 15 minutes yesterday, they go into Rabia's backstory and like her current life and how many kids she has. And I'm like, what are they doing? I don't care. Did you watch the Michael Jackson one? We're getting into what you're watching territory here, but I don't think we have it on the agenda. So talk to me.
No, I didn't. I read a review of it. Cause I think it premiered at Sundance and I read, critic's review of it, and he was just like, it's like brutally tough to watch.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't really have much interest in hearing these terrible stories.
I've heard it's quite biased against Michael and isn't really doing like the whole trying to stay in the middle thing, and people are like, oh my god, Michael's bad.
Yeah,
but not gonna make any assumptions before I watch, even though it's pretty
clear. there's a lot of stuff that I've heard from people that have, you know, that I read that have watched it, where they're like, even if you don't fully believe the stories that he did something technically illegal,
yeah,
it's still super fucking weird that he like spent all that time with children and had like sleepovers with children. So still kind of crossing the line. So,
all right, what do we got?
All right, let's talk about Triple Frontier here. Triple Frontier, Netflix release, directed by J.C. Chandor, who directed Margin Call.
A Very Violent Year, I believe.
Most Violent Year, starring Jessica Chastain and Oscar Isaac. This stars Ben Affleck, Oscar Isaac, Pedro Pascal, Garrett Hedlund, and Charlie Hunnam. Basically as these ex-military dudes who kind of just like want to get theirs. They finally like want to use their abilities for their own sake, get their own money. Oscar Isaac is working on some sort of task force or something, trying to hunt down this drug dealer in nondescript South American country, maybe Colombia, I don't know. And he gets a lead from his girlfriend slash informant and basically finds out that this dude, you know, where he keeps his money. And they sort of set up, he sets out, you know, to get his team together, and then they go down there and all that fun stuff happens. 72% on Rotten Tomatoes after 89 reviews, 64% audience score. An outstanding cast and ambitious story help Triple Frontier overcome an uneven narrative and elevate the end result above a crowded field of grim and gritty heist thrillers. All right. What did you think about Triple Frontier?
First off, I didn't know what the title meant, so I Googled it, and Reddit tells me it's the tri-border area where Paraguay, Brazil, and Argentina meet, per Wikipedia. Oh. Okay. So cool. Cool. I just thought it was okay. Like, it certainly was helped by the fact that I didn't go spend money on it, drive, pay for parking, sit in a theater in downtown Chicago. Being able to roll out of bed, hungover as all hell on St. Paddy's Day and watch this was a welcome treat. It didn't blow me away, but there were some action scenes that really had, like, my palms sweaty, and I was like, okay. This is, like, the biggest Netflix movie that I think I've seen since Bright, probably bigger than Bright as far as star-studded cast and pretty good action scenes, but in the end, some pretty dumb plot stuff that had me like shaking my head. What about you?
This is one of, I don't know, maybe two movies on Netflix that doesn't feel like a Netflix movie.
Correct.
It feels like a movie that I could have gone, like a lot of people would have gone to go see in theaters.
Oh yeah, we would have seen this and reviewed it, I think, in the theaters. Like
it feels big. I imagine they spent a lot of money on it. It has some beautiful shots, like landscapes, and I believe I read that they shot like in Colombia and some other countries.
Beautiful.
And like you can tell, like just it looks absolutely incredible.
Massive jungles,
at times.
Like there's I don't think I saw anything that looked bad green screen.
Nope,
like
not
it was
at all.
Beautiful.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure most of it was on location. So that was nice. That's sort of a change of pace, especially for a Netflix movie that you're watching at home, you know, on your not theater sized screen. So that was nice.
Speak for yourself.
I don't know if it does feel like a movie though that was passed up by studios, because it sort of has had this long development hell road, and I think that's kind of because it does feel like it might be the script, I don't know, but I think the first half was pretty good and the second half was a mess.
Agreed.
And I think the first half feels like what you're expecting when you watch the trailers. And the second half, they sort of throw out a lot of the character development and character traits and make everything just kind of go crazy. And not necessarily crazy, but just, I don't know. There was like a lot of time where I was just scratching my head at some of the decisions they made, and it sort of lost that thriller vibe of it, and that crime thriller or that heist aspect. And it didn't feel like it was trying to say anything. I figured like maybe they would try and say something about, you know, capitalism or that kind of thing, or just military in general, but they didn't really. Greed is kind of an issue for some of the characters. Like, I've, you know, once they find out all the money that they can get,
oh, yeah,
they kind of start losing.
But that's like the only
the
message
plan
that we get. Is,
but that's it. And it
greed
doesn't,
is bad.
Build on
money,
yeah,
changes people. But like we know, yeah, that.
Yeah, yeah. And so that, I don't know, that was kind of bothering me. And the fact that we really only got one good action scene, and it's not even really the entire action scene. It's more so just the, yeah, entire heist is just like a very fun sort of tense few minutes, because you're kind of expecting things to go poorly at some point.
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily do, but it's still like pretty well shot, pretty entertaining, and then you don't really get any more.
I think we do get another good action scene that's very stressful and has you sweating. I don't want to spoil it here, but yeah, you really only get one or two big set pieces, and the rest, it almost becomes a survival, like psychological, yep, movie. And it really shifts tones, and you get these pros that you're supposed to believe are like the best of the best, and then they start doing really dumb things, and it devolves into that like, oh, if you would just not do this, then I guess there wouldn't be this plot point and we couldn't progress the movie. But yeah, it really, really shifts tone into a completely different movie second half.
Yeah, it's almost I read someone say this, and they were basically like, you know, the first half is kind of what you'd expect from the trailer. It's a heist movie, and the second half is like Lone Survivor.
Yes.
In a way.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is like the most accurate way to represent it, but I like, it makes sense.
Just really slows down. It slows down.
Yeah.
And then even when it tries to ramp up again for the finale, which we'll talk about, it just seems very small scale compared to what we've seen in the movie,
yes,
already.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's really just the tone. I just couldn't tell if they wanted to be like a very serious movie or like kind of like a fun, more shoot 'em up heisty kind of thing. And it felt like they couldn't really make a decision.
Yeah.
And then they shifted into a completely different genre. Acting wise, though,
standout.
I really,
Ben Affleck.
Really, yeah, I was gonna say I really only like two characters, and Ben Affleck by far was probably my favorite.
Just
I thought he did
being
great.
Being a fat, bloated, dad-bodied alcoholic, mm-hmm, like he is in real life, so,
yeah,
good.
And he did it great. And you know, it probably helps that he was shooting it when he was like going through the toughest aspect of like all that shit.
I bought every scene he was in, just
with,
like,
but, yeah,
drinking in the car, just being overweight, but like still big and like husky. Mm-hmm. He was great, mm-hmm, in it. Yeah.
And I liked that, like, he's sort of like the, maybe like the former captain or the former leader or whoever like makes plans for these kind of recon missions and or spec op missions. And you kind of like get that feeling that the rest of them either not necessarily look up to him, but like fully believe in his abilities and his knowledge and his smarts and these kind of things. And I bought it. We'll get into some more of that later. The other character I liked was Charlie Hunnam's character. I liked sort of the he has trouble with an American accent. I'm just going to say that right off the bat.
I heard him break out of it. Mm-hmm. I feel,
yeah,
like
several
he
times,
slipped.
Yeah. Yep. But I liked when he was basically, he starts out the movie giving like motivational speeches to like other soldiers, and I liked the cadence and the way that he was speaking in that, and then the switch to sort of how he acts once he's out, like, in the jungle or out on these missions is nice. I liked it. But he still, like, felt responsible, like the kind of guy that would kind of, you know.
Yeah, he didn't really stand out too much to me. The only takeaway I had was Affleck killed it. The rest, I kind of expected more from such a star-studded cast, especially when there's some emotional scenes later. Nobody really brought it, I don't think. But props to them for going on location, probably deep in the jungle, high in the mountains, like, it was probably a very physical movie to shoot, so props to them for not being a bitch and green screening it.
Yeah.
I think, though, there was one scene where I think Ben Affleck didn't want to get in the water and they CG'd him in. Because there was one scene where I was like, is that CG? But the rest of it looked beautiful.
I'm trying to remember that. Oh,
when they were in the water
when they're walking through. I guess I don't know.
It stood out, and I was like, I think he didn't want to get in the water. And it was in his contract, and he's being.
I'm trying to think of anything. I don't really have anything else.
No, the rest would spoil too much of it, but the trailers didn't do it any favors. I expected more action, but other than that, like, it was average. And that kind of brings me to my rating. I didn't write something out because I'm still hungover from St. Paddy's Day and kind of sick, so you don't get a sentence review from me, but
I give it a C-. I was just fairly let down, and by the fact that it wasn't trying to, like, get into any deeper themes, or at least I couldn't tell, and because of the weird tonal shift and sort of just the letdown from the first half to the second half.
Did you expect more of an action
movie? Yeah, more of a tense heist movie. It wasn't necessarily that I needed, like, big action set pieces or anything. I just wanted that sort of tensity and that tight feeling, and I just didn't get that when they were trying to escape or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Tough to talk about the rest of
that. All right, so that was spoiler talk for Triple Frontier, or that was non-spoiler talk, I should say. We're going to start talking spoilers now. If you don't want to be spoiled, stop listening. Next week, we will have some talk from C2E2, as well as a review of Us, Jordan Peele's latest movie. So get hyped for that. All right, Triple Frontier, spoilers, starting now. Okay.
I'm really glad that nobody on the team backstabbed anyone. I thought they were hinting at Ben Affleck was about to kill the girl or try and kill someone for more share of the money, and I expected it the entire time.
Not that there was going to be backstabbing. The only backstab that I was expecting was Oscar Isaac. I felt like that was going to happen, and it just didn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You thought he was going to backstab the team?
And then I was sort of expecting, you know, Garrett Hedlund's character to just go crazy and fuck things up for them, not necessarily backstab them, but fuck it up, which he kind of did with the, you know, the burning of the fire. Which, can we talk about the burning or the fire starting literally two scenes ago or something? Someone was like, you can't do that because that'll signal it, and then they just
Ben Affleck,
and then everyone's like,
he was like, absolutely not, we're doing a cold camp,
that's fine, ha, hilarious, burn fucking $1 million.
Yeah. One of our friends from the Chumpcast said all of the major issues resolved themselves immediately. Pedro Pascal's character, Catfish, was like, I can't fly anymore, I got a family. They're like, well, there's a lot of money. He's like, all right, I'm in. They're like, no, we can't go to this house because there's a bunch of people there. Oh, no, no one's there. Well, shit, we can't find the money. Oh, wait, it's in the walls. We can't build a fire. Oh, yeah, we'll build a fire. And I agree. A lot of stuff just resolved itself immediately.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, like, the fire had negative consequences because the dude tracking them, so.
It did, yeah. But, yeah, people started to do dumb things, make poor decisions. And it was one of the head-scratchers, or, like, the face-palmers, when they're on the side of a mountain and they're fighting. It's like, guys, you are pros. This isn't even about the money. Just get your shit together. You're on the side of a mountain.
Yeah.
Don't be yelling. Don't be pushing up on people.
Yeah. I don't. This is the thing. Is like, obviously, I think, like, the plan that they did have in place was good. And I appreciate that. You know, that's the one reflection of, like, the greed aspect where, like, once they kind of, like, had greed, everything went to shit. But they still kind of got out of it. It was just like the fact that the helicopter didn't work out and they wanted to carry too much money.
Yeah. And I saw some things where they're like, why didn't they just drop the money, take the stuff in the helicopter over, then come back for the money? And somebody was like, yeah, but how many times have you not taken two trips for groceries? Like, you can understand that.
Yeah.
Like,
also, yeah, very true. I don't understand that argument because, one, you don't know how much fuel they have. They can't just go refuel anywhere. Two, it feels like if they're making multiple trips, the cartel would notice, because apparently they had eyes everywhere, so.
Correct. Yeah. I thought that was the second really good scene. I thought that was pretty stressful, and then the helicopter goes down. You got Garrett Hedlund on the ground kind of scrapping around.
I like that.
Blades flying everywhere. That was pretty good.
Is that the other action scene that you were talking about? Or are you talking about the final scene?
Yeah, I guess the first heist was good as well, where you were, like, on edge, But really, it was just those two, the final action scenes.
That's another problem, is you kind of felt like you were building up to, like, a cool, kind of intense ending, and it's just this lame car chase? Yeah.
Couple 12-year-olds driving cars with guns they don't know how to fire. Literally, one of the funniest parts, which shows how dumb the final action scene was they're swimming out to the boat to get out of there, and one of the cartel members comes up to the beach and just flips their car immediately over a dude, and I'm like, well, they're clearly buffoons. Like, they shouldn't feel in danger. There's no tense.
They also had sort of, they kept flipping their morals and ethics throughout, where, like, it was like, we're okay, like, killing some people, and then we're like, nah, we can't kill anyone. Oh, they're kids, we can't kill them. Oh, and then Oscar Isaac just randomly flipping back and forth between, like, I'm gonna shoot at the people, just kidding, I'm gonna shoot at their tires. Like, come on.
Well, yeah, he's like, we're gonna mow down everybody to get that money, and they're like, you kidding? We can't mow down everybody. And then he comes back to the group, he's like, hey guys, I don't know what I was thinking, we can't mow down everybody. And then he kills people, and then he shoots a tire. Yeah, back and forth. Flip-flop, snip-snap.
Yeah, it's just, like, inconsistent. And that was sort of, I don't know. It just didn't work. That's why, like, the three other characters. Pedro Pascal's character was fine, but he was just, it didn't really have anything to him. And then Garrett Hedlund's character was just pointless. He just felt like they took him, they, like, cut one character in half, or just, like, took pieces of another character and just, like, threw it into this one that was supposed, like, literally it felt like he was only there to light the money on fire.
Yell like, I'm getting a Lamborghini. Do you think Oscar Isaac was banging the other girl?
I thought that was the point.
Intel person he had.
Oh, I guess
I
thought he was. Yeah.
They kept it ambiguous. I don't know. They didn't actually confirm it anytime, but yeah, I could totally see them doing that. And then, why wasn't going back to get the cash, the money all along? Like, the plan
you know,
all along?
I think because literally there's no reason. That should just be the plan. Like, I don't understand, like, what would have prevented them from going and getting
it. Yeah, okay.
Other than, like, this has ruined us. Like, right?
Charlie Hunnam's the only idiot who decides, like, oh, okay, just in case, I'll write down the GPS coordinates of, God, you know, $1 billion.
Ridiculous. I don't have anything else, man. No, I don't think we are.
Do you think we're getting a sequel?
Yeah.
I don't think so either. Unless this, like, knocked it out of the park ratings-wise and critics were going crazy and it's Netflix number one favorite new streaming, like, numbers thing, then yeah, I don't think so. I got nothing except R.I.P. the Mule. That was hard to watch. That was the saddest part of the movie.
That was tough. Oscar Isaac being nice, saying that's a living animal, and then Ben Affleck being a dick. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, you kidding? It's a mule. That was sad. You're making him carry.
There was, like, another moment where, like, Garrett Hedlund was just being a jackass for no reason, and then, like, Charlie Hunnam was just like, move. And then he didn't move, so then the mule died. Come on.
Yeah. You got jackasses, and then jackasses are dying.
All right, rating.
I got nothing. Sorry, guys. This is probably our laziest episode yet. We're hungover. We're sick, and we got a ton of great movies coming out soon. C2E2 coming up next.
All right, short your rating episode, was a C plus. Mine is a C minus.
Yeah, I'll give it a C+.
I mean, you can't go wrong. It's a Netflix movie, so if you don't have anything else to watch,
can you? What would you rate it if you had to go to the theater?
Probably
to watch
the same
it?
Thing, to be honest. Yeah.
Really? Okay. Mine would go to...
Okay. Well, thank you for listening. Let us know what you thought of Triple Frontier. Give us a shout-out if you are going to be at C2E2. We can meet up. Otherwise, we will see you next week. Remember to subscribe, review, share, comment, like, all that fun stuff. Follow us on all the social media channels. Check out glitchup.com for some March Madness-themed posts in the next few weeks.
We do some fun,
potentially absurd stuff. Thank you for listening. Us review coming next week. See you then.
C2E2.